We want to turn to the Word of God in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. Can I just, for the sake of time, just leave one verse? But we're going to refer to Luke chapter 17, and one verse in particular. It's a very short verse, just three words in the verse. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. And it says this: remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And that's what we want to speak on this evening. Perhaps we could just stand to our feet. Sometimes I think when you stretch your legs, then it keeps people from sleeping. And so if we stretch our legs and just seek the Lord's face in prayer, let's just stand to our feet. Almighty God, we come now to Thee. We thank Thee for what we have heard already. But now, Lord, as we come to Your Word, it's the entrance of Thy Word that bringeth light. And, O God, we pray that You'll help us, Lord, to preach Thy Word as we ought to preach it. We thank Thee for the power of the Holy Ghost. And, O God, we pray that God the Spirit will move and move in this congregation. We thank Thee for the young people. Oh, we pray for those other young people that are at this meeting. Lord, perhaps outside of Christ, maybe have made a profession, but tonight are far away from the Lord, following the Lord like Peter did, but following the Lord afar off. And we pray that tonight, Lord, You'll speak to the unsaved. Speak, Lord, to the backslider. Bless Your people, Lord. We know that there's nothing thrills the heart like the preaching of the gospel. Thrill our hearts this evening. And may we see Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, You promised, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto Me. We pray for the drawing power of God and the Spirit to be manifest in this meeting in the salvation of precious souls. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. That's our text this evening. Right across our coastline, there are lighthouses, warning lights, beacon lights, to warn ships of the danger of the rocks and reefs that lie close to the shore. Many a ship has been saved. Many a ship has been spared from floundering because of those beacon lights and those lighthouses. Lot's wife is a beacon to us tonight. Lot's wife is a warning to us tonight. A warning about the danger of dying without Jesus Christ. She's a warning to each one of us that unless we repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will perish. And so we want to look at this warning, this beacon. And may it be a warning to you tonight to flee from the wrath to come. She perished. That's the message. That's the message. She perished. She suffered the judgment of God. Do you know punishment today in our land is treated as a light thing? Punishment is almost banned from our schools. It used to be in my day that if you did something wrong, you got a good whipping and a caning. Some of you are like me, you remembered it. Maybe you suffered the severity of it. But today, the cane is almost banned from our schools, and punishment is a bad thing today. It seems to be that the punishment of the criminal is a thing that is banned today. You know, we're living in the days that Isaiah prophesied. It's a day when evil is called good, and good is called evil. We let the criminals go today. We let them out of our prisons today. There's no punishment now for the criminal. And you can get literally away with murder today in our land. And today our prisons are being opened and prisoners who should be, as it were, suffering the most severe punishments are now let free. So you see that punishment is a bad thing. We're not allowed to scold our children almost. You know, in my day, my father and my mother, when I did something wrong, they went out to the hedge and got a sally stick and they would have whipped you around the legs. And the Bible says the blueness of the wind cleanseth away the evil. We can't do that today. My children brought up in the manse, sometimes people think, well, the children are we of the manse, are we angels? Can I tell you, they're no angels, they're fallen angels. Punishment is a bad thing. Here's a woman, and she's God's warning that if we die without Christ, we will suffer punishment. We will suffer the judgment and the wrath of God. People say to me, preacher, but will God not let me in on the day? Well, I haven't really done anybody any harm. Oh, you know, you preachers, especially Free Presbyterian ministers, all you can preach about is the wrath and the judgment of God. Can I tell you, my God is a God of love. That's what the Bible says. D.L. Moody was preaching in the United States of America one time. And over the pulpit was a little text, God is love. And it was lit by a gas lamp in those days of D.L. Moody's preaching. And there was a drunkard going down by the wee mission hall where he was preaching. And he was staggering along and he heard the singing of the congregation. And he turned and he came back and he looked in the door and he looked up above the preacher's head with this lovely text of scripture, God is love. And like an arrow in his heart that touched him. And he went away down the street, but he couldn't get away from that text. And he came back again, and he looked in through the doors, and still it was glowing and glistening in that little gas lamp. God is love! And he said to himself, does God love me? Does God love me, a drunkard, a hell-deserving sinner? Does God love me? And the text said, God is love, and God does love the sinner. Hallelujah. And God loves the young people here. And God loves you no matter how far down the road you have sinned. Hallelujah. And he has demonstrated his love by his love on the cross of Calvary when he has laid down his life. And you know that man came into the meeting. And D.L. Moody spoke to him and he said, what part of the text that I preached on spoke to you? He said, it wasn't what you said. It's what that text said up on that wall. God is love and God loves me. And D.L. Moody led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you tonight, my God loves you. And Jesus Christ died for you. Do you know I have one son? I have three girls but one son. And I love that son. And I wouldn't give anything for that son. I wouldn't give him away. I love him so much. I would want to hold on to him. But can I tell you, my Heavenly Father has only one son, his only begotten son. And he gave him for you and me, that we guilty, hell-deserving sinners might be saved. Here's a woman, and she suffers the justice and the judgment of God. That's what we must remember. If you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, this text, remember, Lot's wife, is set in the context. It's very important, you know, when you study the Bible, to find exactly the context of the setting. We're to remember Lot's wife when? In the context of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's important. Remember Lot's wife in the context of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, not very often preached today, but Jesus is coming back again. If you look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 20, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it.
And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. And then here's what he's saying about the second coming. I want you to note, when Jesus is coming back again, over and over in the Bible, it speaks about the second coming of Christ. And it tells us here, and it says here, and it mentions the splendor of his coming. How is he coming back again? Look with me at verse 24. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his days. How is he coming back again? Let's look at it. For as the lightning. How does lightning come? It comes with splendor, doesn't it? You know, it's not talking about fault lightning here. It's not talking about sheet lightning. But when lightning does come, it lightens up all the heaven. All the whole earth is filled with it. That's how Christ is coming back again. Let me tell you. He's coming in glory. You know, the first time he came, he came to see him. The next time he's coming in all the glory of the heavens. Every eye shall see him. That's the splendor. When you speak of lightning, not only do you speak of splendor, but you speak of suddenness. How is he coming? Can I tell you tonight, he's going to come suddenly. This is the context we're speaking of. Remember Lot's wife in the context of the second coming of Christ. He's going to come with splendor. He's going to lighten up all the sky. He's going to come as lightning comes. He's going to come suddenly. Suddenly there's a flash of lightning. There's a flash of lightning. He's going to come suddenly. You know, the Bible says this. In such an hour as you think not. In such an hour as you think not. I know there's dispensationalists, and they've their wee calendars, and they've their charts, and they've it all worked out, and the time of the Lord's coming, and they've set dates, but I tell you, not a man or a woman knows. It's in the vaults of heaven when Christ's coming, but he's coming suddenly. In such an hour as you think not. Let me ask you tonight, do you think Christ's coming tonight? Is there anybody in this meeting who actually thinks Christ could come tonight? Will you say, not in a million years? Not in a million years, preacher! I'll tell you, in such an hour as you think not, that's when he's coming. And that's when the judgment of Christ and God fell in Lot's day. When Lot's wife got up in that morning, it was things as usual. It was business as usual. It was getting ready. It was getting up. The sun was shining in the eastern sky. And suddenly, the judgment of God comes. I want you to note something in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. And you know what it says? And it's speaking on the second coming of Christ. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In a moment, if you had a Greek text, and that was the original text of the New Testament in the Greek text, you know what it says, in a moment. The Greek word is atomos. Atomos. We get our word, our English word, atom. What's an atom? It's the smallest particle of anything. It's so small, you can only see it through a microscope. In a moment, in an atom of time, so suddenly, we'll not even know. And it says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the speed in which Christ is coming back again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. You know, there are some people who believe it's going to be a silent coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Somebody said to me, it's the loudest verse in the Bible. Some people say he's coming silently. I don't believe that. Because it says in 1 Thessalonians, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's a commander's call. Horse guards parade. Do you ever hear when they're tripping the color? Do you ever hear the recruiting sergeant? I tell you, you hear them. I tell you, every soldier hears them. That's how Christ's going to come back again. I remember before I was called into the ministry,
I was involved in civil engineering. I remember going into the office and this fella came in and he says to me, "Philip, I'm glad to see you." I says, "Are you, brother?" He says, "I'm glad to see you because," he says, "I thought I was coming to work this morning," he says, "I couldn't see any of the believers that I know. And I thought the Lord had come and taken everybody away." He's a Baptist, but we'll forgive him. Some people believe in the silent rapture. Can I tell you, he's not coming silently. He's coming with a shout. He's coming with a trumpet. People wonder why I shout a wee bit, but let me tell you something. We need to shout it out. We need to trumpet out the gospel. People are not hearing today, but when the Lord comes, it's not going to be silent. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And I want you to note, not only do we have the splendor and the suddenness, it's not silent, but I want you to note the separation that is coming. Look at verse 34. In Luke's Gospel, it says this. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, here's what the Lord says. I tell you that that night there shall be two men in one bed. You know, there are perverts who would misbrew this Bible, try to teach something that it doesn't teach in this passage. They would say there's two men. If you've got the Authorized Version, and I hope you have, you will notice the word "men" is in the italics. It's not in the original. And it says, you know, you could read this verse, "I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed." And I want you to notice it. The one shall be taken and the other left. Maybe a husband and wife here. One of you saved, the other not saved. One's going to be taken. I want you to notice what it says in verse 35. Two women shall be grinded together. The one shall be taken and the other left. I tell you, there's going to be a great separation. A great separation in the day of the Lord coming. Quicker than we can think. Quicker than you can think. On the same person in our meeting, you're going to be left behind. Two shall be together, sleeping calm and still. Two shall be together grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, the other one left behind. Say, will you be ready? Will you be ready when he comes? Remember Lot's wife. What are you saying about Lot's wife? Well, if you look on here at the signs of the coming of Christ, we have in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, the signs. And can I tell you, the signs are up to date. You don't need to buy tomorrow's newspaper to get the news. The Bible is up to date if we don't only read it. I'll tell you, the signs are all around that Christ is coming back soon again. We haven't got time to look into it, but look in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and you will discover right down that chapter. You'll read about the signs of the coming. The disciples asked them, "Lord, what are the signs?" I tell you, the signs point to the soon coming again of Jesus Christ. You read about the pestilences, the disease. You wonder why there's so many diseases and plagues today, the MRSA. One of the fellows that was bringing me down to the Auchnacloy Mission, one of his workmates had a wee boy, a wee girl I think it was, she was 8 weeks old. She was taken into hospital for a minor illness. And when she was in hospital, she contacted one of these diseases, these plagues that the Bible has prophesied is going to come on this earth. MRSA. That wee girl, 8 weeks age, went on a life support machine. She became so well. You know, the Bible speaks about these things. So well that they were going to take the life support machine off her. But a number of people were praying for her. And that wee girl made a recovery. Do you know this bird flu? It's come very close, isn't it? It's come right to France.
We have the BSE, haven't we?
I'll tell you something. These are God's judgments. This is pointing to us of the coming again of Christ. Read Matthew 24. Not only pestilences and diseases, but you'll read it says of earthquakes. Earthquakes. When God wants to make a great announcement, can I tell you, He sends earthquakes. You know, the day when Christ was crucified, the earth did quake.
We're in the last of the last days. You know, when Christ comes back again, He's going to come back where He rose, the Mount of Olives. Some of you maybe have been to the Mount of Olives. It's a beautiful place. And Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, you know what it tells us? That mountain, the Mount of Olives, when Jesus comes back again, and His feet are going to stand on the Mount of Olives. If you've ever been there, that just overlooks the city of Jerusalem.
And it says in Zechariah 14, verse 4, I haven't time to quote it, but it says the earth is going to split right at the Mount of Olives when Christ comes back. And look across the day, we're having our tsunamis, aren't we? These are God's judgments. Why out in the east, can I tell you why God judged there? You know, there's people from this country and right across the world, and they go out there. They go out there to molest little children. That's the end time age. That's why God sent His judgment. New Orleans. New Orleans. Why was it destroyed? I'll tell you something. There's evil out of New Orleans. Vile evil. Man with man. Working that which is unseemly in the sight of God. These are the last days, can I tell you? Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. Here's the sign, as it was in the days of Noah. Look at it says, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. And we're talking about here to remember Lot's wife. It says here, as it was, so shall it be. You know why God judged the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? I'll tell you why. Because of sodomy. Because of homosexuality. They like us to term it gay, but I don't call it gay. Some of us protested outside the city hall in Belfast. The first civil partnership marriage. Man with man. There they were. And I know there's children here. There's the men parading about. Nothing but their underpants. This is vileness today. Oh, this is happening. The Bible's up to date. You know, when I was a child, I didn't know anything about homosexuality. I didn't know anything about sodomy. But I'll tell you, the Bible's right as it was. It's up to date. So shall it be. As it was. What does it say? Luke's Gospel. At chapter 17. It says they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, and they planted. What's so special about that? Sure we have to eat. Sure we have to drink. Sure we have to build. Sure we have to plant. Don't we have to do that? But you know what this is telling us? You know what this is telling us? We're so consumed today with eating and drinking. We're so caught up in the cares of this world. No mention of God. Very little time for God. You know, there's a falling away. There's a falling away. We're so consumed. Eating and drinking. And nothing wrong with that. We have to eat. We have to drink. We have to buy. We have to sell. We have to plant. We have to build. Of course we have to do. And that's what we're doing today, isn't it? And we're so consumed with the cares of this world. So consumed. And I'll tell you why Lot's wife perished. Can I tell you? She perished, I'll tell you why. Because she was so consumed. You know, when she started, look at Genesis chapter 19. When she started, the two angels came down and grabbed her by the hand and dragged her out. And you know, they dragged her out. They pulled her out. Our brother is right. He would like to drag some of you young people out to the youth fellowship. But he can't do that. Can't do that. Maybe there's some tonight we would like to drag you to Christ. These angels did. They can't do that. But you know, when they dragged her out, her heart was in Sodom. Her heart was in Sodom. And they couldn't get her out. That's the difficulty. You know, the same spirit that was in Lot's wife is in the spirit of people today. You can't get them to Christ. You know, it used to be in gospel missions. I see your young brother David Park here, Ballymoney, Cabra. When they met in wee Cabra outside Ballymoney, way back in 1951, the formation of this denomination. You know, they had a gospel mission there. You know, many came in that wee place out in the country. You know, many came? 100. 100 souls. 100 souls came to Christ. 1975 in Ballymena Town Hall. You know, when our moderator preached, Dr. Paisley, and the Reverend William McPray was the singer. You know, many came? 400. You know, in the end time ages, you know, you can preach. Used to be, you preached in those early days, you preached in hen houses, you preached in pigeon lofts, and I'll tell you something, people came in their droves. I can remember being at that mission in 75. And I remember praying, and the appeal was made, and I heard these people powering all down, and I thought everybody was leaving. You know what it was? It was droves of people coming to Christ. Is there something wrong today? Is there something wrong today? I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong with our God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah! I look at my own heart, you know. I thank God on the 7 precious souls that came to Christ. You know, one of them souls this past fortnight in the mission in Auchnacloy was a wee girl. Mother and father had waited for the wee girl for 19 or 20 years. She's the only wee girl they had. And that wee girl got saved, and the mother wept. And you know what the father said? You know, if I had £1,000,000, it never made me happy like this. My wee daughter coming to Christ. I'll tell you something. There's nothing rejoices the heart like souls coming to Jesus Christ. But remember Lot's wife. You know something? She's concerned. Oh yes, it says these were days when they eat. They did eat, they drank, they built, bought, they sold, they planted, they built. You know what's telling us? Days of prosperity. We've never had it so good. Never had it so good. You know, this generation has everything. This generation has everything. 2 or 3 cars. Beautiful homes. Carpeted wall-to-wall carpeting. Washing machines, dishwashers, televisions, you name it. We've got everything. I'm not decrying that. But there's no happiness. There's no real peace today. There's no real joy today. We're missing something. You know, when I was a wee lad, I went to my grandparents every summer. They were farmers. They hadn't got much. It was the day of the horse and carriage. I'm telling you my age now. I know I've got 6 grandchildren. They're lovely. But you know something? They hadn't much. Just an old horse flow. They kept pigs and a few cows and milk. Hard working. You know something? There was a happiness there. Because I'll tell you why. They've got everything a man or woman needs. They've got Jesus Christ. See, when you've got Christ, you've got everything. You've got everything! Tell me today, have you got everything? Have you got Christ? Young people, let me tell you something. Young people, you need the Lord. Oh, I was young too. I used to hear preachers come and preach, and I thought to myself, well, you know, what sort of loony bins are those boys, hellfire preachers? And I sat down and I thought to myself, you know, if they're saying I need to be saved and I'm not saved, and I die without Christ, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. You know, the Bible's true. The Bible's true. She perished. She perished. She was consumed. You know something? She couldn't let go the things of this world. What is it that's keeping people back? I'll tell you something. They can't let go the things of this world. In 1987, there was a ferry boat coming from Zeebrugge in Holland across the English Channel to Dover. I remember it well. This ferry boat was called the Herald of the Free Enterprise. You maybe remember it. There was hundreds of passengers on board the vessel. There was lorries, there were cars. She went out of the harbor at Zeebrugge. She had just gone a wee bit further than the harbour gates. Suddenly, the vessel capsized. 40 seconds it took the vessel to capsize. And scores of people perished. They had an inquiry into it. And at the inquiry, the captain of the vessel said, one of the reasons why the ship perished was that the ferry doors, the gates on the ferry, weren't closed. But he says this, you know, I intended to close them after I got out of the harbour. But he never got them closed because the ship capsized and people perished. Some of you, you intend to get saved. Just give me a little longer. The world seems now so bright. When I feel that I am dying, I will come, but not tonight. You know that inquiry? You know why many of the people perished? Can I tell you why? They were holding on to their duty-free cigarettes. And they were holding on to their duty-free beer. They perished holding on to sin rather than give it up. Some of you remember Lot's wife. She perished. Why? Because her heart was in Sodom. She wouldn't give up the things of the world. And she perished. And she perished suddenly. That's what it says. She perished suddenly. She procrastinated. That's a big word, isn't it? I used to hear that word and said, what does it mean? Well, it comes from a Latin word, procrastinate, which means tomorrow. Remember that. Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll get saved. This woman began to go. She thought she was getting out, but she left it too late. Suddenly death came. And we were going home this past fortnight from Auchnacloy to Randallstown. Just the other night there, Castle Dawson roundabout, we couldn't go down the road. It was all blocked off. You know why? Too young men. Two young men, were killed. Just there the other day, near Ballymena, a young fella, 9 years old, comes from Ballymoney, killed just outside Ballymena, 9 years of age. He's the only son. He's the only boy. They waited for him. And now he's dead. Now he's dead. This is a young people's meeting. Let me tell you. A few years ago, 3 young people in our church, or one of them connected to our church. 17. These girls were 3 of them. 17. They went to Ballymena to celebrate this wee girl's birthday. 17. They were coming home in their car. And as they got near Randallstown, they turned the bend. And as they turned the bend, there was black ice. And the car skidded over the ditch, went down an embankment. And the 3 girls were killed, 17 years of age. The wee girl that I knew who came to our church, Sarah. She was called Sarah. She was lovely. She was the only one of those coffins that was allowed to be opened because the rest had perished so brutally that their coffin lids could not be opened. When I went into the home, that young girl, Sarah, and she had big brother. She was the only girl. These 3 girls came from different families and they're the only girls in the families. 7 big brothers she had. 7. And they were all over the coffin crying and weeping. Sarah! 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 But there was no coming back. The good thing about Sarah in the midst of the sorrow, Sarah was trusting in Christ. Just the night before, her granny opened me the Bible that she read, and showed me the passage that she read the night before. Let me ask you the question. Are you trusting in Jesus? are you saved? Remember, Lord's life. If you're not, and you die without Christ, you'll perish. You'll perish in hell forever. She's a warning to us. She's a warning to young people. She's a warning to older folks. Come to Christ. Come tonight. Come while the Lord in mercy is speaking and be gloriously sealed.